Hello and welcome to the Plant Paradigm Podcast, where we have inspiring conversations with amazing individuals from all around the world and look for ways to create a clean, green, and sustainable future for us, the planet, and all beings. I'm your host, Tom Simak, a fellow plant eater who strives to optimize every living ecosystem. Passionate about looking after this beautiful floating rock we call home and all the lovely creatures that dwell among it. Today is a different kind of conversation, and I'm joined here with my PBPIC, my plant-based partner in crime. It's a long abbreviation, Shana Harrington. And we're going to do a monthly paradigm. So Shana is the brains. She is a lot of the brains. She comes up with a lot of the amazing ideas behind Plant Paradigm, what the website currently looks like. If you haven't already checked out, a lot of the guests we talk to and a lot of the questions we formulate. She is definitely someone that doesn't get a lot of credit, but works pretty hard behind the scenes.
I think you're being extremely modest.
I think you're being extremely humble. And so today we're going to do something that's a little bit different, like I said, to the monthly paradigm. We kind of put our heads together and thought, you know what, it'd be pretty cool to sum up the month, all the amazing, we constantly educate ourselves. We always are trying to find ways to live a friendlier lifestyle for everyone, for the planet, especially with like plastic. Like, how do you live a plastic-free life? It's so hard in today's day and age, and we're always learning.
So hard.
We're always watching the documentaries. We're always listening to podcasts, reading books, and, you know, reading the science. And so that's why I guess we came up with the concept of the monthly paradigm, to bring all those lessons to you every month.
And just little news stories that have popped up, new studies that we want to dive into, just anything that we think will be beneficial from the month.
Absolutely. You know what I found out I couldn't do today?
What's that?
I think you know what it is. I'm the worst Australian. I didn't know how to make a Vegemite toast. So
he's put the Vegemite first and then the Nutlex on top.
Is that like, I'm trying to think of the relative thing. Like, a lot. Firstly, Vegemite's an amazing complex thing that a lot of people don't understand unless you're like Australian, or I guess Marmite if you're in the UK. But is that like putting in milk first and then cereal?
Well, I saw something about scones. You know, you put the cream and then the jam, or the jam and then the cream. Maybe we can put it on a poll.
Put it on a poll. It's, yeah. I feel like it's a very polarizing thing though, especially with the cereal, because some people genuinely love putting in the milk first.
No, that's just silly.
No, well, no. People love it. I've seen the videos on YouTube of people having this debate.
No, they're silly.
They're silly. If you don't go our way, you're wrong.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of news stories today. Do you want it? Like, we actually don't know what the other person has, which is actually really exciting, because, and I wonder if we've got the same thing somewhere in here.
I'm kind of thinking
maybe.
And I really can't keep a secret. So like, my blood has been boiling all month to just tell you everything.
Yes. But before we get into everything, I just want to remind those visually inclined, all these videos actually go up, I guess podcast episodes actually go up on YouTube. So you guys can watch our pretty faces sitting on a couch right now. And if you are on YouTube, hi, how are you going? Remember to click the subscribe button. We're actually sitting on a couch as well, which is kind of, it's a little bit uncomfortable, like a little bit.
Just because you didn't want a pillow.
I'm not a fan of pillows, really. But, and am I just going to lose a lot of followers from saying that? This guy's anti-pillow. No, it's just weird. Like, usually you're at a table, but I feel like it's kind of nice. It's not going to hurt my butt after an hour, you know, sitting on a chair. But I did want to say that the website's actually live. I haven't even talked about it. And it was live, I think, July 1. It went live. So if you guys want to check that out, it's just www.theplantparadigm.com. At the moment, it is a place for all these episodes to go up. I've also getting a blog section ready where we'll put up different recipes of like the whole foods, plant-based food that we make, different strategies on how to avoid plastic in your life, and maybe how to be environmental friendly. summing up some science maybe as well. And on top of that, in the coming weeks and months, I'll create a newsletter so you guys can sign up for the monthly paradigm in a newsletter form if that's your preferred way of consuming media. So I'm, check out the website if you haven't already.
And you've made it look amazing.
I think it's okay. It's okay. I like it. It's got some neat things, but for someone to make it themselves, like, it's obviously not my trade. So it's good fun. Let me know what you think on the Instagrams. But do you want to hit us up with the first story?
No.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to start with something we all saw this month,
okay,
which was the Eye of Fire. And yes, it's the thing off the Gulf of Mexico that pretty much essentially what happened is this Mexican petroleum company called Pemex has a gas pipeline. They're one of the biggest petroleum companies in the world. And they had this pipeline 76 meters deep under the water, and it actually burst. And from that, it literally erupted the ocean in, and it looked like something out of a sci-fi movie, like something out of like Pacific Rim or something out of like these alien movies where the water was literally on fire like lava.
Are you going to put a photo up?
Yeah, everyone? I'll put the video up as we're going, and the photo is like, it is insane. And I'll put a carousel up on Instagram, I think tomorrow or the day after, with how it actually happened and the story behind it and kind of what I'll touch on now. But essentially they had, I think it was four or five ships around there, and they were spraying, I think it was nitrous oxide onto the, I guess we'll call it lava water, to try to put it out. And I guess for a bit of context here, this petroleum giant produces $74 billion a year in revenue. Like, they're not poor. They have options to be safe and things like that. And this isn't a small company. And, you know, you think with situations like this, oh, it's a one-off, it never happened again. But, you know, when I actually dove deep into Pemex and what they do, when you think like Latin America and South America, I'm going to generalize the whole world. There's a lot of corruption that goes on with petroleum companies especially. And I'm kind of thinking, as soon as I saw that, I'm like, there's got to be other situations that they've had. And I actually didn't have to look very far. These people have had dozens. I think I counted eight just in the last decade of issues of like fires, tropical forest, deforestation, a lot of these issues and human rights violation.
Isn't it funny how we only hear about this problem on the news? And
it's got to be one of their biggest ones though.
Surely.
Because, you know, I guess in the scope of the whole world, it's hard to be educated about everything. So you see this thing that's like not even real. And I guess it's a call to action. So essentially Pemex had this huge scandal because they've had ties like most companies do with the government. And there was something called the Pemex Gate. And I read that, I'm like, oh, this is some sort of conspiracy, like Pizzagate or something like that. And it was pretty legit and honestly really shouldn't surprise anyone when you dig into the story. Essentially, the governments usually like to have some really good relationships with oil giants, petroleum giants for tax advantages, like we all know. And it was actually uncovered that Pemex Gate donated $53 million to one of the presidential candidates in the year 2000 under the table.
Wow.
$53 million.
How does that happen under the table?
Well, they use a lot of offshore bank accounts and things like that, but it wasn't declared. So I don't know if they did a good job around it because it actually got found out.
Yeah, true.
Right? So they didn't do amazingly, which is great. And this election, the 2000 election, was actually really important for Mexico because since 1910, when Pemex first started as, you know, Mexican, because they wanted to not use foreign petroleum supplies, so they made their own. Since 1910, they've had a deep relationship within the government for tax advantages. And that was all the way up to 2000 when that finally stopped because Vincent Fox won that election. And so that was a little bit of a happy ending, but it goes further than that. Because the presidential candidate, Ernesto Zedillo, actually got fined for not declaring that income. And he was fined US $97 million. So once that sinks in, you think that's a lot of money. But when you look at the donations that has been made, that's a year and a half of donations for something that's been going on for over, well, at that stage, 90 years. Isn't that crazy?
That is mental.
So this one lava eruption is really just a call to, a cry for help.
It's just going to keep happening though.
Exactly. And I'm really glad you said that because this was actually almost predicted to happen. Because Forbes put out something, so funny, they put out something I think 2 weeks before this eruption happened that listed Pemex as the third most dangerous and risky oil giants in the world.
Wow. Who was number one? Do you know?
I actually didn't see number one. I saw number two was there, this US company, but I didn't see number one in the article I read. But I learned a very cool word, I think, that really describes this situation, which is ecocide. Have you heard of that?
No.
Well, you think like genocide.
Yeah.
Ecocide, by definition, is destruction of the natural environment by deliberate or negligent human action.
Really sad. Well, that's a good segue into, have you heard of the red tide?
Red tide?
Yeah.
Is that like blood, water?
No. It's a algae bloom. It's in Florida. It's just happening at the moment. They had 600 tons of dead fish because of this red tide. Saying that, it's been happening apparently since the 1500s. So it's not a new thing. And it happens often, but I don't think we've ever had 600 tons of fish.
That's a lot of fish.
Die from it. But it's also really bad for humans. So if you've got a respiratory issue or anything like that, you can have serious illness. Bird life, also like turtles, other marine life. It's just so bad.
How did it start?
It's an algae.
But now it's just expedited.
I'm assuming so. I don't know a great deal about it, but it's happening at the moment. And there's actually websites so you can actually check the status of the red tide. Yeah, it's crazy.
What a name.
Yeah.
The red tide of death.
Calm down.
That's what it is, really. 600 tons of fish. I'm thinking if we were to consume animals, 600 tons, that could feed you or villages or I don't know, maybe even countries.
Yeah, I don't know how many.
So it's fish. It's just a waste.
It is. Really sad. Like, apparently it's really gross in Florida at the moment.
That's such a shame because I know obviously fish would eat the algae like most fish do, and then they obviously get some sort of infection.
Yeah, is it something like there's not enough oysters to clean
the water? Right.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Balance.
Yeah, that's how it seems. But again, it's been happening since the 1500s. It happens in a lot of places, just like we get in our rivers blue-green algae. But
right,
I don't think our blue-green algae is killing, you know, tons of fish.
Jesus, I've just looked it up like on Google and this is pretty horrific.
Yeah.
I'll put some pictures up. Like, that's disgusting. Is there another segue you want to go into? Because that was a pretty good segue.
You like that?
I like that segue. It was nice.
I
guess we'll touch on something personal then going forward, and then we'll go back onto the science things. You did 200 squats the other day.
What? That is so random.
I know, because I think it's important amongst I don't want to fearmonger. I think this is all just really informative.
Oh, I've got good news stories.
Oh, you got good news stories?
Yeah, mate. Of course.
Oh, go hit it up.
Oh, no, I'm saving that for the end.
Oh, you're saving that for the end. Yeah. Finish it up on the good note.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a big month for fitness, actually. You're finishing up a six-week challenge this week, I think.
Next week.
Next.
31st.
31st. 6 weeks of constant exercise. It's pretty good.
Yeah. It's almost a habit now, I'd say.
Yeah?
Yeah, I reckon.
It makes it so much easier when it's a habit, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you did 3,000 squats.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. We're all different little parts of our journey. I think a lot of people, but like we talked about, 3,000 squats might not even be healthy. Like, what is that?
Just like marathons and ultra running and...
Yeah. Yeah. So this month started, I did a marathon. So the Gold Coast Marathon was cancelled due to COVID.
Was that this month?
That was this month.
Oh, my God. This month's gone so slow.
I know. I feel like it's gone slow too. So it was the 4th of July. So it was first week of the month. And, yeah, I ran it. Initially, my goal was to finish it in under 5.5 hours. I'm like, if I just finish it, I'm sweet. Like I've just run the marathon. I'm good. Cause I've been training, like a lot of people know on the show, with the Vivo barefoot shoes. So that has caused me to kind of relearn running as a whole, change my posture, change my cadence, change my recovery, change my, my weekly mileage. So everything has changed. So I don't even know if I should have gone for the marathon because there's a lot of changes and my foot wasn't fully adapted to it. But I just did it, essentially woke up, had a good marathon. It was fine. I was great for a lot of it. My ankle was playing up. I finished in 4.5 hours. I think it was like 4:34 or something. You ran the last little 700 meters with me. Awesome feeling. We had a bit of a community there. You were giving out water all day.
Yeah, it was so much fun actually, just cheering people on. I saw Luke Hodge and that was so exciting.
Yeah. You know, it was actually really awesome to see that day because the marathon was cancelled, but there was thousands of people on the street. Not that I'm concerned, like everyone's kind of distancing in their own way.
Yes.
Gold Coast is huge, yeah. You know. But, you know, running on the streets, like cheering each other on. Like we had our set up there in one of the parks.
We had Cliff Bars, we had gels, we had so much. And just people were so grateful for the water. They were just like, the weather was beautiful for it too, wasn't it? It wasn't too hot.
It's a great day for a run.
But just the community vibe, it felt amazing.
That's why I think COVID does really well. Like in a time, and I respected everyone that came out because realistically, if you train for an event and that event is the thing that's pushing you to run it and that event cancels, you're not going to run. So everyone that went out there had their own reason, their own why to run that race. And there was lots of different people. Like I reckon someone who was pushing 80, maybe 85, like just strutting along. And it almost, and you know, see all different body types, sizes, shape. It was just beautiful. There was a few people set up in different locations, like spraying people with water.
That's nice.
Yeah, it was just such an awesome community. The marathon itself, I'm super stoked to have done it. Super grateful that I got out, super grateful for all the support of yourself and all the other guys. And I was out for like a week after the marathon though, wasn't I?
I don't think you were that bad.
The day of was a bit of a struggle because my ankle was inflamed.
Yeah, for a week your ankle was so long.
Like
big.
About 15 Ks in, it just started clicking. Like, and it started getting really inflamed. And when I sat down to like go to the toilet or whatever, it felt good for like a minute afterwards and then just inflamed. And I'm like, oh crap, I'm going to have to push this pain for the next 3 hours. But I reckon just the last 2 kilometers, that just hurt so bad.
Most people said the same thing. That's so funny.
It's like, I don't know if I hit the wall because there was just such a good vibe. Like I think a lot of people, but I also didn't push myself. I think I could have gone a bit harder, but I don't know. Like when I saw Jansen running past me, like when we were switching directions, I just see his face and it's like, oh, in so much pain. And I'm like, ooh. Maybe that's what it looked like on that last 2Ks. I'm just like, I was like almost falling forward and I was like walking and I was like jogging.
Catching yourself.
I was just catching myself and I'm like, my feet, I was fine energetically, but my feet were just like, you got to stop, bro. Yeah, like,
it's too long.
Don't do it too much. But super stoked I did it. Next goal, I'm not too sure. I think sub-4 marathon is pretty realistic. It won't take too much more training, I don't think, to hit a sub-4. I mean, it's shaving off 30 minutes, so it's quite a bit of time. But I forgot what my pace was. I think like 6:30 or something. Pretty good pace. I did 3,000 squats as well, which was fun. That took 2.5 hours.
No.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, it didn't take me very long at all. I got a lot of messages on Instagram like, you're crazy. So I put it up on Plant Paradigm's Instagram that I did it. And afterwards, because I thought it'd be a lot harder, I didn't start struggling until about 2,500.
Yeah, but then you did another 200 with me.
Yeah. I had to help you hit your goal. You support me. So I found that if you want to do something like that, I found what's really important is actually the breathing. So I had my eyes closed for probably about 80% of it, I reckon, just on the way down. And just I did it fully through my nose. And I just felt like it helped. And that last 100 was getting pretty painful and my feet hurt a bit. It's just, you get pins and needles. obviously just doing, if you do squats for 2.5 hours straight, like my legs are caning right now. Like I did it 3 days ago. It didn't really hurt that day until the night. And then I woke up the next day. I was like, oh, I freaking almost fell walking to the bathroom. So yeah, that's our fitness goals. Kind of wham, bam. We're kicking it.
Mm.
What's next for you? 300 squats?
No, it was like 30 push-ups or something. 20 push-ups.
Yeah? Full push-ups or knee push-ups?
Nah, full.
That's a lot. You'll kick it.
Great.
No, I think girls struggle a lot with push-ups. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Is it like a muscular thing?
Yeah, I don't know. Is it men just train their upper body more than women do?
Well, minimal, self-obsessed, yeah, in that way, I guess.
I don't know. I'm not sure. It's just uncommon for women to have good upper body strength without proper training.
Yeah, well, you know, the person who holds the longest plank in the world, yeah, is that vegan girl.
Yeah.
Who held it for 4 hours, 20 minutes.
Insane.
We're sitting here struggling at 30 seconds, 1 minute.
She has
4.5 hours. How do you do that? I just wouldn't understand.
I'd get bored. Like, can you put a book under there and just, like, flip the page for me?
I don't know. But when you have a team around you, you know, having a conversation, when you Guinness Book of Records, you need to have cameras and people entertaining you, I guess.
For 4 hours?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
What's how long it took to do the marathon? Just look around?
Yeah, but you've got nice scenery. True. All you can see is that.
True. You get a really good look at all your freckles.
Yeah.
That's funny. Going back onto the science thing about health, there was a new study that actually I just saw it this morning. It was published on the 20th of July.
21st of July.
What do you mean?
I think I know which one you're talking about.
Which one? Is it about ischemic heart disease?
Yeah. Red meat.
Yeah.
I've got it too.
You got it too? I saw it because Dr. Nagra posted it.
Did he?
Yeah, he posted it this morning.
Dr. Nagra, you ruined my...
I thought it was awesome.
I saw it from Channel 7.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm shocked that they would post that.
Me too.
What did they say?
Well, let's go into the study first, okay, and then I'll tell you what.
I think Nagra gave a really good debrief, so I'll just read, yeah, from his caption. So thanks for giving us a good read, Nagra. And the results aren't surprising, but essentially they took, how many people was it? I think like 1,427,889 participants.
So it was 13 studies, like, researched. So they researched all of these 13 studies. So it was 30 years worth of data collected in these 13 studies, which they just deep dived into this research. Yeah.
That's crazy. And they found, well, obviously they found that processed meat increases your risk, or just 50 grams a day, so one serving of processed meat increases your risk of ischemic heart disease by 18%.
Yeah.
And unprocessed meat was 9%. What shocked me the most about that is 50 grams a day. That is nothing.
No.
Why they put that as a serving blows my mind, because we walk down the street, we're going to see a steakhouse. What's their menu? 300 gram T-bone steak, 500 gram yada, yada, yada. And it's like, that's already the weekly allotment. So I'm thinking, and I commented on the post, I'm like, you see these 500 gram steaks, it's like, is your risk of heart disease increasing by 18% from the one meal?
Yeah.
What did Channel 7 say? Did you have a note there?
Well, more on that study. They did find that there was no link between eating chicken and turkey that increased heart disease.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
But also, I take that with a grain of salt because, again, 50 grams a day.
Yeah.
Nobody eats 50 grams.
Well, chicken's probably like a lot, like 80 a lot less saturated to 120 fat. Grams, you'd yeah, say.
Yeah, right.
And also, they found that the high content of saturated fat in red meat and sodium in processed meat was obviously increasing LDL, which was then increasing factors of heart disease.
Right.
Which is not anything new.
No.
To us.
We know that.
But Victoria Taylor, have you heard of her?
No, I haven't.
So she's the British Heart Foundation. She's from the British Heart Foundation. She's come out after this and said, the impact of red and processed meat on our risk of heart disease has been up for debate for decades. I'm really not sure what there's to debate about, to be honest. I don't know about you.
I'm waiting for the spin. I don't know where she's going with this.
There's more. This review supports existing recommendations to reduce consumption of red and processed meat to help lower our risk. This doesn't mean you have to give up red and processed meat altogether. You're from the Heart Foundation. So how many grams do you recommend?
So shocking.
Isn't it?
I wonder if someone commented, like, how many grams. 50 grams a day. That's pretty much given up. Like, that is so little.
But, of course, I'm assuming if you had, say, 20 grams, your percentage is still going to go – is going to increase.
Yeah. It's not like
– not by as much. Not 18%, but
– it's the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. What do you mean? Not don't
– that's shocking.
Cut it out. Who are you being paid by?
That's a really – poor perspective to have. It reminds me directly of the study or the post we were looking at by Rhonda Patrick that I kind of dove into about dementia. And it's like,
yeah,
what are you trying to get at? Like, why are you not accepting the facts?
It also reminds me of what the health, like, if we looked into who's paying the British Heart Foundation.
Oh, you can only assume. All these heart I don't want to assume, but you can only assume.
Yeah.
Like, based on... And I've never actually looked. I'm trusting Kip Anderson and the documentary filmmakers to fact check that.
Oh, for sure.
And I know they have a board of doctors and stuff that fact check it all as well.
Well, kind of showed it on the doco.
True.
Just on their website. It's just there.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
I can't believe she would say that. That would pay me off so hard.
I laughed out loud.
Did you actually laugh out loud?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure you asked me what and I was like, I can't tell you.
Oh, that. Nah. Okay. It's just kind of, it's just very sad. I'm going to start calling out more people on Instagram. I'm going to do it.
You do like it, don't you?
It's just, it's fair because if you're out here on Instagram and on social media saying crap that isn't backed by evidence and it's your opinion and you're pinning it as fact, that's not fair.
No, I agree.
That's exactly what we're trying to stop with these kind of conversations. It is not fair that you have multiple hundreds of thousands and sometimes millions of followers and you're leading them on. You're selling them a pipe dream like a cult.
Well, are you going to be leaving like the study links in the show notes and everything?
Yeah. Everything we talk about, I'll leave a study notes. And if anyone thinks that my claims are wrong or absurd or our claims are wrong, pull us up.
Mm.
We change our minds all the time. And if I'm quoting the wrong statistic, I'll admit that. I feel like that's what a lot of these figures don't. Like I called out, who was it? The Sports Dietitians Australia.
Did they respond or anything?
They didn't respond. They wrote an article January last year because we're talking about the Hawthorne Hawks nutritionist who was like.
The Hawthorne Hawks.
Hawthorne. It sounds really weird to say it like that.
You're just not an Aussie at all.
Well, I can't. Well, no, because a lot of Americans and stuff listen and Europeans, and I can't say.
The Hawthorne Australian Football Club.
There you go. Whatever. She's like anti-vegan or anti.
I don't think she's anti-vegan. She's just pro-balance.
I'm going to say anti-vegan. Because she. There's the difference of balance and
she came out and said to be a top athlete, you do not need to be vegan because of the Game Changers documentary.
Yeah.
So which she claims is not a documentary, it's a movie.
Correct. In this post that she got quoted on in Sports Dietitian Australia, she wrote that it's pseudoscience. And I'm like, yes, there's anecdotal evidence. Of course. And they're not claiming that this evidence is everything you need. This, you know, erection thing they did with the NFL team or whatever. There was a lot of anecdotal evidence in there, but none of it is just stops there. It continues going. If you look into the science, you don't have to look that far. And then in the blog post, it said, so white rice and soy sauce is vegan, yet this is not nutritionally adequate. And so I put that on my Instagram story, tagging them, and I put in quotes, white rice and soy sauce is vegan and not nutritionally adequate. And I just asked them, what vegan or person that's plant-based is telling you that white rice and soy sauce is a health food? Nobody says these things, but they take it to the extreme. It's like that meat, what's that documentary we watched on YouTube that Mike the Vegan ended up doing a response thing, and so did Earthling Ed.
Mick the Vegan.
No, it's Mike the Vegan.
No.
It's Mike the Vegan. I'm telling you. You know what? I'm chatting to him this week. In a few days, I'm chatting to him for the podcast, and I'll ask him. I'm telling you, it's Mike. You say Mick, but it's Mike, like the microphone.
But that's what we thought it was.
For a very long time. Sorry, Mike. But
no, we thought it was Mick the Vegan, and he told you it wasn't.
Yes, correct. So it's Mike the Vegan.
I'm so confused.
It's Mike.
You're 100%?
I'm 100%.
Okay.
M-I-K-E. I can bring up his YouTube about because he says it in there. What was I talking about?
Sorry.
Oh, that YouTube video that says meat will not save the future.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
And it went viral because he was just giving people reasons to not consume animal products, and he compared.
No, he was giving people reasons to consume.
Oh, yeah. Not feel guilty for consuming animal.
Yes.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And he compared beef to almonds.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you think you're all high and mighty eating plant-based, but your almond latte has got a greenhouse footprint of this. I'm like, nobody doesn't eat a steak and then says like, no, I'm just going to have some almond milk instead. No, you're not comparing it to the right thing. You need to say, I'm not going to have this cow. I'm going to have lentils. What's the environmental footprint of that versus that?
Yeah.
What's the environmental footprint of a dairy latte compared to an almond latte? It's just, I feel like that's where these people can greenwash really easily, especially for people that...
It was convincing, wasn't it?
Oh, of course, these videos are always super convincing.
It was a good video, but we just sat there going, this is crazy. How can you compare this?
Just stupidity.
It's just not fair.
It's not fair.
It's just not factual.
No, I agree. I think especially when and it's good. I'm glad that they have such a stupid comparison because it just means they're pulling at strings that may or may not work at this stage.
Yeah.
And I was talking to, we have an episode of Andrew Little that's coming out next month on Instagram. He was the plant-based doctor now. I think it's just Dr. Andrew Little.
Yeah.
And he and I were having a conversation on Instagram, and I think he said something that's really true. And when it comes to the environment, it's the easiest thing to argue about for pro plant-based diets.
It's so black and white.
It's so black. That's right. Because you can argue about ethics and philosophy. Nutrition is gray as hell, as we both know. But when it comes to the environment, it's just 1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah.
And that's the best thing. That's why I think on this show, I love stressing the environmental aspects, because when you start having those conversations with friends and family, that's going to be the easiest way for you to be like, actually, no, that's not correct. Or, oh, have you thought about this?
Crazy.
Really crazy. Do you want to pivot to your next story?
Yeah, well, speaking of the environment.
Go. Oh, you got a clean segue again?
Yes.
Awesome.
I don't actually know if it was you and I talking about this or if I read it and said, I don't know. But the Amazon is now emitting more carbon dioxide than it's able to absorb.
No way.
Yeah. How horrific is that?
How is it emitting more?
So 1 billion tons per year is how much it's emitting. Fires are producing 1.5 billion tons of CO2.
A year?
Per year.
To give context for the Aussies, our bushfires that lasted 6 months.
Through the, something crazy.
From the 2019-2020, that emitted 300, in between 300 and 400 million tons of CO2. And you're saying this emits 1.5
billion. 1.5
billion. So that's like the Aussie fires times four.
Well, the Amazon is humongous. Well, yeah. It was. Anyway.
Well, it's only like 15 to 17% of it that's gone.
17%, that's right.
Right.
And we're still emitting more than it's able to absorb. So it's absorbing 0.5 billion because of the growth.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of makes me think of that study that I talked to you about how deforestation kills humans.
True.
Did you ever look into that?
No, oh, well,
I'll explain it. I've got it on the carousel actually saved on Instagram to publish it soon.
Well, while you do that, I just want to explain that these fires that are happening in the Amazon are deliberate fires, and it's to clear space for beef and soy.
Mm.
And that soy, before people get on their high horse, is to feed those cows.
It's crazy. I actually love when people say, oh, soy, they link me like soy burns. Because there's actually science that says soy causes 80% of deforestation in X place. And I'm like, oh, this is great.
Yeah.
I promise you they've read the abstract and in there somewhere will say, oh, this soy is for cattle.
Yeah.
And then I just quote that part and send it back to them because it's a huge amount, especially in Brazil, who I think are the biggest exporters of soy to the mainland US.
Are they?
Yeah. So 80 to 90% of their soy, even in the US, 80% of their soy and grain is fed to livestock.
And then out of that beef, we get like a tiny percentage of calories that we could have gotten from that soy.
Mm. Or anything else.
Corn, grain, anything.
But essentially with this forest fire thing, I actually wrote, I thought about this for a second because I'm like, there's all these fires happening and you kind of hear, especially with like regenerative energy, and sustainable energy, I know with like a lot of the water hydro plants in like Nicaragua and stuff like that, it's making the country run on a more sustainable energy source, but it's actually destroying the native homes and the communities are getting ripped apart because they're essentially bulldozing these towns to build these hydro plants and that is destroying their communities. So it's not clean energy, it's renewable energy.
Yeah,
and that's something that I got taught by Bernice Cunningham, who I had this. I reckon I interviewed him a year and a half ago. It was a while ago, and he told me about that. I'd never heard of that, but when looking into it, it's really true. So,
well, it's just like Origin Energy is doing renewables, but it's doing it on land that doesn't belong to them.
Yeah,
it's owned by the First Nations people.
Yeah,
they are just using the land.
It's horrific. They're really just butchering culture. But back on the fires, I thought, if there's so many fires, you think about the smoke we inhale, I'm like, I was first going to look into the animals killed by the deforestation, like habitat, wildlife loss. And that's something I'll definitely look into the future because I know Indonesia is actually the leading country for deforestation, I believe, not Brazil.
And that's where the orangutans
are. That's where the orangutans are. So their palm oil is huge. But palm oil is also something I want to look into on a tangent because I've heard that palm oil is actually more sustainable than any other oil because you can get more per harvest than any other oil.
Yeah, but I guess that comes back down to, is it clean?
Right.
Like, are we growing these palm tree plantations, orangutans living there, then we're just chopping it down. That's, you know, not.
It's not clean by any stretch of the imagination. But I wonder, to play devil's advocate, is it the lesser evil?
Yeah.
Because if you had to go grow coconut groves, would that take up more land? But I think what they're doing with palm oil now is not clearing, or they're trying to stop the clearing of it and just using the current available land. Because
that's genius.
Oh.
Why did no one think of this?
I know, and then start to reverse it slowly.
Right. Whoa. Like the plantations that we see down in the old ways. That's what they're doing. they're chopping it down and you can see like the next stage.
Right.
Do you remember when you
went there? They burn it down as well and you see like...
I don't know if they burn it.
I've seen them. I've seen the burning of them.
Yeah, probably.
It's pretty yuck. Like you just see green, 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 black.
Yeah.
Green, green, black. It's pretty horrific. But yeah, I thought especially when you're having conversations with other people, a lot of the time I like to create these posts for you to use to talk to other people.
And it's a conversation starter.
Exactly. It's a conversation starter. And I think especially with those very heavy meat people, like you know how you talk to people about veganism and suddenly they're a plant right activist, that kind of thing. I think taking a human rights approach is something that's unique.
Don't you love when you tell someone you're vegan and then they tell you how much they eat meat?
That's like, the best.
I get it all the time.
Yeah, we were talking about it the other day, like, oh, I only eat meat sometimes, or I eat this much meat, or I hunt my own meat. Like,
yeah.
Bro, like, okay.
I eat this many lentils and legumes. Like, why do I need to know?
Because they're thinking that they need to justify their actions because they're worried that our lifestyle is superior in some way.
We're judging.
Because they've got these internal...
Insecurities,
that's right. So I'm thinking with these Amazon fires, you inhale the fumes, it's got to be bad for you. And actually, that's exactly what they found. So it's quite a big study that looked at satellite imagery over the course of, 1976 and 2010. So it was huge. And fire is actually the main way they deforest these places. So they're not using this for timber. Timber is like 10%, 5-10%. So it's because it's purely or mainly
this is what we were talking about the other day. And I was like, why aren't they using the timber?
They can't clear land as quick because the demand for meat is growing and they can't clear it as quick with just the timber if they're chopping it, transporting it.
But I feel like it's a double-edged sword. Hey, let's clear the land. Let's use the timber for paper and things that we're already needing timber for.
Seriously.
Instead of just disposing it and making it not usable. Go on.
So these fires essentially, when you have like a large fire, it emits particle matter into the air. And they found that when these fires were happening, especially the big lots, hospital admissions and premature death in adults increased by quite a fair bit. So how many deaths exactly? And this is what I wrote, which is what I'll post. A team led by Reddington used a global aerosol model to show that reductions in fires associated with deforestation have caused mean surface particle matter concentrations to decline by 30% during the dry season, which means through the deforestation of the fires or the fires causing the deforestations, they average that 2,906 premature mortalities occur annually in South America.
Did you see their life expectancy?
I didn't see their life expectancy. I don't think they actually had it in the study.
Right.
But essentially, this is one in every 100,000 people. So that's quite a fair bit for just fires, something that could be completely avoided. But this is also... Well, the greatest risk to this is the people near the fires. That's not where all the deaths are happening, though. So they have one in 100,000 where they're near the fires, but the smoke travels to these highly populated cities, and that's where a lot of the deaths occur, and that's why they can track it really well, the hospital admissions and stuff like this. I'm sure a lot of them go unchecked, especially in rural villages and communities where there's no systems in place to track this kind of data. And they actually found that they actually could reduce it. So they calculated that if you reduce the fires of this by 40%, you could save about 1,720 adult lives a year in South America alone. That's 2,000 people, just on the 2,000 people. And if you think, if you're out here saying all lives matter, you know, those people that say, Black Lives Matter, and then All Lives Matter. Or if you're saying anything that is anything like human rights, you can't be supporting this stuff.
Well, it's much like what we saw on Seaspiracy with Thailand.
Right.
The slavery on the ships.
That was horrific. Jesus.
Was it just Thailand, Cambodia? Anyway, Southeast Asia. Just slavery on these ships. So it's as if you're eating fish, you are supporting this activity. which is against human rights. It's, yeah.
The animation they actually used was quite disturbing. Like, I can't imagine.
For what?
Of the abuse happening on the ships, like how they're kept in like the freezer room and there's dead bodies there.
Yeah, wow. Like, and just pushed overboard. Who can track, who can convict you? You're like, no one's going to know that you did that.
They can't guarantee it.
No.
It's not dolphin safe. Tuna safe. Dolphin safe tuna. No, but imagine what it's like in real life. Like, imagine if they had actual footage of what's going on in the ship. And I'm sure someone does somewhere on their phone or something, have recorded it, one of the shipmates or
they'd
the captain.
They'd probably be too scared to.
Imagine that.
Like, yeah.
That is a complete violation.
Of human rights.
Of human rights.
Terrific.
Your life is pain. It's torture. It's hell.
Mm.
And you want to do as much as possible to not support that. And so this is a really good way to have conversations that aren't animal-centric, because a lot of people might not go plant-based for the animals.
But let's be honest, most people we know like animals more than humans.
Yeah.
Yet.
True. Very true. Actually, a lot of people listening and watching this do go vegan for the animals. So I actually put out a survey, like, which emoji are you, plant-based, whole foods? Well, the options were, whole food, plant-based, vegan, vegetarian, transitioning to plants and meat eater. I actually calculated all the votes.
Did you?
This morning I did. There was just under 150 comments. Wow. So pretty good data set. And some people voted twice, which I get, so I added them twice. Like normal, I'll go through the list. So whole foods, plant-based, 32, plant-based, 6, vegan, 48. So that's the leaders. Vegetarian, 3, and transitioning to plants, 3 as well. So it's awesome how we have vegetarians and people who are transitioning and are plant curious listening to these kind of conversations.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, these conversations, regardless of your dietary patterns, are important. Like things like what we talked about, Pemex. Like it's not just what you eat, but it's how you live. Everything you do has an equal and opposite reaction. And so the foods you eat have a huge choice. The car you drive has a huge impact. What you do in your day-to-day, the conversations you have could have a lasting impact for years.
And we're not saying just go out and buy an electric car, because
no,
that's not that easy, but
no,
try and ride your bike sometimes.
For sure. There's lots of ways to be eco-friendly. Thank God. There's plethora of ways. So we watched Seaspiracy when it came out. That was a great one to watch.
Yeah, we didn't watch that.
We watched The Plastic Ocean.
Yeah,
I watched it for the second time. It was your first time watching it.
Yeah,
did you like it?
Yeah, I did. Look, I think it wasn't anything new for me. I don't think. I don't know if there was a lot of like home level solutions provided.
Yeah, I think they talked, like, he had that time when he walked around to the cafes and he's like trying to get containers. So
that was cool, wasn't it?
That was cool. I think the home solutions wasn't talked about, but they had that scene where maybe I'm thinking of Seaspiracy, where they had it like on the table and they just switched. They had a cup and they switched it for like a keep cup. They had a plastic container. They switched it for like a Tupperware thing. But definitely, I agree, it wasn't talked about nearly. It's like, here's the problem, deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's like,
And then you know, you talk to someone and they're like, straws aren't even the biggest problem, like, really. Like, I know, but we've got to do something.
Mm.
Don't be part of the problem, be part of the solution.
Did you watch Kiss the Ground?
Yeah.
What was it that we were at your parents' house and they were at the street and they'll interview people on Santa Monica and they're like, what do you do for climate change? And people are saying, I don't use straws. That was the answer that people were giving.
Yeah, right.
Was it? I'm not sure if it was that or some other series like The War on Waste or something like that. But people have this view of plastic straws. And firstly, if you use plastic straws, get out of the 1970s. And cafes that use it, tell them to not use it. Tell them to stop. Like, it's stupid. I message cafes all the time.
What about bottled water?
That blows my mind.
It gripes me bad.
People buy, like, I remember watching War and Waste. I forgot the guy who runs it, and he was in Sydney.
Was that comedian?
I think he was a comedian.
I love that episode.
It was an ABC series. I forgot the lad's name. And he's like, how many bottles of water do you go through a day? And some people were like, yeah, I go through like 3 bottles of water a day. And he's like, what do you mean?
He didn't say anything. Because he was pretending to be a bottled water seller. Or like, you know, I've got this great product. Maybe Perrine. You can try it. Yeah,
Perrine, which means tap water in French.
So they were trying this water and going, oh my gosh, yes, I'd pay $7 for this or whatever. It was something silly. And he's like, it's actually tap water. So stop using bottled water.
Yeah.
Just stop getting plastic bottles. It blows my mind.
Well, there's study after study, and they even looked at some, they did like an empirical evidence, anecdotal stuff on the actual episode. Remember when they got the Fiji water, the Australian mountain spring water, the tap water, and they did some tests on it, and they found that they're all much the same.
Was that on Down to Earth? They did something similar?
No, they didn't do it on Down to Earth.
Well, they did something similar on like the first episode.
The Paris one, I think they did. No, not that one. The tanks. The first episode was Greenland or Iceland, whichever one. The one where they used the hydro energy in the
gases. It was one of the first ones.
Right.
About bottled water, and they were testing it, and I don't know.
It's just shocking that people use bottled water.
That bottle's going to outlive all of us.
It's shocking. And it's so much. I was like, come on, man. Like, it's such a waste of money. If nothing else, it is a waste of bloody money.
Mm. Yeah, what, $4 a bottle?
Yeah. Even $2 a bottle is too much.
Yeah.
And it's shocking. Shocking. The greenhouse effect, the lasting effect of that plastic is just stupid.
Well, it turns into microplastic, then it turns into fish food, and then the fish die, or people eat it.
When they eat the fish, especially. So I think if you're still using, I don't want to attack people that still use plastic bottles, but
we kind of just have. Yeah,
it's a simple solution. It really is. It's like when you're transitioning from meat to plant-based, that is a whole systematic change of your belief. But switching from a plastic bottle to a reusable bottle, like, it seems very simple. Just watch a plastic ocean or something.
And if you don't want to drink tap water, fair enough. Instead of putting that $4 into bottled water, put it towards filtered water, buying a filter.
That's right. Even if the filter's $5,000, it doesn't matter, because firstly, that's probably going to be healthier than the bottled water you're getting.
Yeah.
And secondly, the investment's just stupid, including the environmental impact that you'll be making. If you're listening to the show, you probably want to make a good environmental impact, or at very least, not leave a bad one. And I think that's a easy place to start.
Well, did you know single men emit over 16% more greenhouse gases than single women?
Is that because of like the meat thing?
A few things. It showed that there was a study. So it was actually, I think it was done in Sweden. It was published in the Journal of Industrial Ecology. Sorry, if
fancy.
You want to find it. It showed that men spend 70% more on carbon-emitting products such as fuel, eating out, alcohol, tobacco, than women. But of course, yeah, definitely meat consumption. Men are more likely to eat meat than men.
Women. Yeah.
And women generally spend their money on things like healthcare, clothing, and furniture, which are less carbon emitting.
Say 16% or 16 times?
16%.
That's a lot.
I don't think it's a lot.
That's crazy, but
that's only single men, though.
It's only single men. Yeah. I wonder what
single men need to find a woman and their emissions may be cut down.
That's so weird.
Nah,
news headline, couples emit less energy.
No, it's because it's hard to conduct a study on a family or like a couple.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to know what is yours or my emissions.
I reckon they could figure it out. I reckon if it had good controls, a good questionnaire, maybe.
Questionnaire, then it's all anecdotal.
It's not anecdotal if it's a questionnaire. if there's enough people and it's constructed properly and it's managed over a long time.
All right, well, why don't you set this up?
All right, let's do this. Doing a plant paradigm study.
Oh, gosh.
No, another doco that we actually watched that comes to mind is Blood Water. Friendly Geordies, Jordan Shanks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
For any Aussies, if you don't watch Friendly Geordies on YouTube, get on it. Some of his stuff I don't like really vibe. Sometimes it's more entertainment than information. I love.
Well, he's
a comedian.
Yeah,
he is. But he's trying to dilute the information so you watch for longer, which I get it. At the moment, he's tackling a lawsuit with John Barilaro, essentially for corruption. But he did a YouTube documentary that went for an hour called Blood Water that looked at the Australian basin system and essentially said how we've privatized the whole basin pretty much, sold it to companies mostly in China, who then sell it to the farmers at whatever price they want and don't pay tax on it. And then farmers have to pay whatever they want, and then that's when they have high suicide rates because, firstly, they don't have the societal it's not deemed super acceptable in their circles to talk about things, and they've got no money.
For mental health.
Correct. So they found that in a lot of these towns, they got out life insurance, make sure it checks out, and then they run themselves into a tree, kill themselves.
And that's because of the financial stress of not being able to grow crops or feed correct. Their
family,
animals or whatever. Yeah, it's really bad.
It's pretty insane.
And it's mostly in the southern because all of the Chinese companies own in the north. So the water just doesn't stream down because there's none left.
And these are the political parties we can vote out that people don't look into because they brainwash our media, essentially.
Yeah, well, that's Murdoch media.
I'm sure everyone around the world can relate to that. I was actually chatting to one of the guys yesterday at the event, and he said in India, two people own the media.
Well, at least it's two. Got two different opinions.
Two billionaires, yeah.
It's so bad.
I think when you're looking at things, you really need like an independent source. Like it's crucial.
Yeah.
You can't be listening or watching Sky News or Nine News or whatever it is, even if it's The Guardian.
I can't believe people even still watch the news.
It's pretty bad.
And like I helped Channel 7 by clicking on that link.
Yuck.
I know. There's something else that I want to watch actually.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube. A UK doctor switches his diet for 30 days to 80% ultra processed food.
Oh, that sounds like a rendition of Super Size Me.
Yeah. You don't want to watch it?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. I'm surprised. I love that stuff. So I just feel like, why would you do that? I don't know. Like even when I was telling
you. I know, I feel sorry for his body.
Seriously, when I told you about Yes Theory's new video,
yes.
Where for 30 days, one of them adopt the healthiest diet possible. I don't know what they classify as healthy. I just looked at the thumbnail. And one of them's unhealthiest diet. Like for 30 days?
Well,
who got the short end of the straw?
That'll be interesting to compare.
But seriously, you'd have to pay me some money to just eat junk for 30 days. I would hate my life. Like,
you would.
That would be mentally affecting you.
Yeah.
Like, regardless of, like, we're both quite healthy, but if you put any person on that diet, you can just see them deteriorate.
Their
slowly.
Mental health would as well. Like, you just
absolutely.
Said, yeah, definitely.
That poor doctor, yeah. Too.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, all right, let's do it today.
Okay.
No, we're going to watch the Hawks game. Can't do
the
it.
Hawthorne Hawks.
Hawthorne Hawks. I wonder if we have any AFL supporters listening.
Oh, let us know.
Let us know. We'll have some good banter. Shana will, she'll know. So if you message me about anyone other than the Hawks and maybe a few other players.
Who else do you know?
I know like Max Gawn. I know like Pickett, like of the Demons. Did I know you? A few players.
Because we've played them twice.
I know Ben Brown.
Yeah.
He's also Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's vegan.
Yeah, Ben Brown's vegan, so shout out. We'll have to get Ben on the show. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, Ben, I know you're a huge fan of the show. Come on, mate. I know. Well, there's a few vegan players in the AFL. We've got Chris Mayne.
Yep.
Who's he play for? Geelong?
Collingwood.
Collingwood, right. We've got Aaron Phillips. In the AFL?
I think she's Collingwood too.
Is she Collingwood? She had a bad injury and she got called out so hard.
I actually don't know.
Did you hear about that? She got so much crap online and then they did like a thing on AFL about stopping cyberbullying. Like something about her hammy.
Was it racism? Because I saw something about racism.
Nah, no, she's, I don't know if she cops racism. She's Caucasian. Like, I don't know if that's a thing. It might be about she, I'm not sure. Like, I don't want to butcher it. It could be about her relationship. It could be about anything.
Yeah, right.
It sucks.
It's not nice.
I can't believe we're still.
Just because she's in the public eye.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Well, you know, the fact that she's in the public eye just means like she's a good player. Like I've seen a few of her highlight things and she's a bit of a beast. Speaking of media, actually, we all know Men's Health. Yeah. Huge publication. They released a video that I watched on YouTube of Ludi Lin. I hope I'm saying that right. He's the actor I was talking to you about. He's vegan. He's plant-based. I'm not sure if he is vegan, actually. I know he's plant-based for sure because in the video he actually says...
Can I just clear something up? What do you mean he's plant-based but not vegan?
Well, obviously in the survey I put two things, plant-based, whole food, plant-based, vegan.
Yeah.
Plant-based means you eat plants but you're not ethically connected to the diet. It's like my mum would be plant-based.
But she's not because she still eats dairy.
Predominantly plant-based, right?
Yeah. So are we just saying it's someone that's...
Vegan is the ethical guideline.
Okay, because I hear people saying I'm plant-based but I eat fish.
Oh, that's... You're vegetarian or pescatarian. That's different.
Yeah, okay.
Predominantly plant-based, whatever.
Yeah, sorry. Continue.
Anyway, so Ludi Lin, Men's Health is huge in, you know, body figures, everything health-related for guys, obviously, just like their name suggests.
Yeah.
And they've got, I think, just over 1 million subscribers on YouTube, and I had never seen them put
YouTube.
Up...
YouTube?
They're a magazine, obviously, but everyone's on the YouTubes.
On the
and
YouTubes.
The Instagrams and stuff like that. And, yeah, they put him up in the title. They said, you know, vegan actor. And I'm like, this is fantastic. Like, and within, like, a day, it had, like, 800,000 views. And this guy, Ludi Lin, is shredded.
Yeah, right.
Like, this guy has a body that looks like it's sculpted with a chisel. It's...
Good on him.
It's crazy. I'll put up a photo, actually. Because he's acted in Mortal Kombat. It was in Black Mirror, the episode where... It was a great episode, actually. He put on, like... You're in a game, you put these two things on your forehead and then it becomes reality. Like you go into this game. Like there's no screen. It's just like this little thing you plug in here. Shoo.
Wow.
And then you're just in this game and you can play with people around the world. And it was a Mortal Kombat.
It's the way of the future, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that'd be pretty scary. He's also in Aquaman. So he's in a few big things and the comments were great on there. Like I was expecting a lot of like... You can't be like, this guy looks unhealthy. Like he, in some of the scenes they showed, he looks like an animation. He's just, and when you look at his body and his posture, it was just great. And I was just stoked to see a huge chain publication like Men's Health share something like that. Like 800,000 views or whatever it was in 24 hours is a stupid amount of eyes looking at something that is honestly a form of activism.
Yeah.
So I was really stoked about that.
That's good.
I think so. I think more of that needs to happen with major companies. Like,
and were the comments positive and everything?
Comments were great.
Mm.
The top comment was, now please share your skincare routine. But I'm like, he honestly just did. He's plant-based.
Yeah.
Like, you just see him eat like a bell pepper, like an apple. Like it was just great. All of them were like, I just can't believe how shredded he is. He looks super healthy. One of the comments was, if anyone's going to lift 200, it's him. Like all these super positive comments. And I'm like, that's great. That's what you want. You don't want people to see a plant-based diet and see limitation.
Mm.
Here they're seeing a plant-based diet and they're seeing opportunity. They're seeing vitality. They're seeing health. So that was when I was watching that, I'm like, this is amazing. More than the video, the comment section really gives you a sense of hope.
It's changed, hasn't it?
It's changed a lot. Like a lot of people, I remember... Like even 10 years ago, oh, I wouldn't go vegan. That'd be unhealthy. But now it's like, I'm trying to eat more vegetables. Mm-hmm. At least that's the narrative I'm hearing from people around us.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm trying to eat more plants. And that could be because of like Will Bushowitz and all these doctors that are hitting top marks in sales. They're always like,
It's just becoming so much more common. I don't remember what the statistic was, but if you went out for dinner and there was a vegetarian option or a vegan option, it was getting chosen, like, I don't know, whatever.
I actually read something very similar. Statistica.org had, I was actually looking at it the other day, just to respond to someone's comment, because I was on Vegans in Australia,
yeah,
Facebook group, just having a bit of a browse, and it just shocks me, and I might piss a bit of people off, but I think inherently vegans want people to stop eating animals, obviously.
Mm.
I think it's a disservice to vilify people that are 80% plant-based, because it's a whole argument. If you understand the numbers, you understand population, you understand how many animals die per capita or per person consuming them, it is much better to have 80% of the world 80% plant-based than 20% of the world 20% fully vegan.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Any way you put it, that's going to be better. And these people were arguing about it, and I'm like, I don't think you understand how much of a disservice you're doing. And I brought up the statistic at the org. I think it was like 5% to 10% of Australians are vegan or identify as vegan based on them.
I think we're the second highest.
That's a lot of people.
In the world. I think the UK is first.
Yeah, right.
Could be wrong.
Canada would be up there. US, oh no, US has got a lot of people, so it's hard. Like, we've got 25 million compared to 300 million.
But the UK has.
UK's got heaps. Huge. What do they have? Like 100, I wouldn't even know. Sorry. But yeah, anyway, 42% of Australians were flexitarian.
Yeah.
42%. That's almost every second person you meet is like, yeah, if I saw a Beyond Burger, I'd get that.
Well, more and more of my friends are becoming like that.
Yeah, like, I'll just give it a crack. And I think that is where the future's leading. And that's the right way to look at it, because that's going to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions straight away.
Well, I've got a true or false for you.
True or false?
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Let's go.
I reckon you're just going to know the answer, but.
I'll leave it for a few seconds for everyone else to answer in their heads.
It's like when you always do those true and false.
Yeah, when I do true or falses, it's always.
Anyway, the majority of new coal power plants under construction cost more to build than the cash flow they generate. True or false?
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, that's true.
So true. So what's the point?
It's just they. It's because of the tax advantages.
Mm,
because it's crazy. The government, all taxes, regardless of where you live in the world, I believe, pay for all these subsidies that makes these horrific industries actually profitable. It's just like animal agriculture. The only reason that's still around and farmers can live off that is because of the subsidies.
Mm.
If subsidies were not around, no farmer would be farming animals. Or at least very, very little. And sorry, I say farmer, but I've learned from my chat with Laura Reese from Agriculture Fairness Alliance, but you have to stop thinking of them as farmers, but as agribusiness, because it's businesses. It's not farmers. It's not your friendly farmer down the street. It's these businesses, these corporations that take advantage.
Yeah.
Just like these oil, nobody has like an oil thing in their backyard that's just doing it for fun. It's these businesses, these greedy millionaires and billionaires that are taking advantage of the system. So I believe that without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, 92% of new coal power plants under construction cost more to build than the future cash flow they'll generate.
It's crazy.
Future.
And you think this is generating jobs? Like, no way.
Look,
with the amount of money it loses, you could pay these people to sit on their asses.
But get this. If we just changed majority of the power plants, the coal power plants, into renewable power plants, there would be savings involved.
That's crazy.
Savings.
You know what I was actually thinking about the other day? I feel like a country should have the resources available to become a profitable nation.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen, does it?
It did for Australia for a while, didn't it? Australia, I think.
I don't know about profitable.
It was. It was actually a slight surplus nation until, I think, after Howard, it stopped.
Well, we've got a AAA rating. AAA? Is that double
yeah,
A?
Yeah, yeah. I think we're AA.
Something like that. We've got a AAA rating, but that just means that we can afford to pay back our debt and we can afford to borrow more.
Right.
Like, where does this money even come from? But anyway.
Printed by the...
Yeah.
just give... Big boys.
So China actually leads the way in the construction of new coal power plants.
I'm so shocked because I feel like China is going to come out of nowhere and be vegan renewable.
Yeah.
I feel like they are because you got Elon Musk's whole talk of he's found this town with a certain amount of light. He's like, if you put this many solar plants in there, you could run all of China on it. And he's given them that plan. Just like, here you go.
Are they?
I don't know if they did it because I don't know. But yeah. I feel like China's going to come out of bloody nowhere.
Yeah.
And just crap on the world.
They're probably just selling the coal to us.
Probably.
Well.
Nations that.
No, I don't know actually because.
Oh, yeah. We've cut a lot of ties with them.
Yeah. But then after that, it's India. And after that, it's Indonesia.
Indonesia?
Mm.
No, I don't know how Indonesia could have all those coal plants. They're bloody all volcanoes. Unless there's a lot of coal under volcanoes, which is where my mind went. Like, I don't know if that's scientifically accurate. That's just what I'm thinking imagination-wise.
I have no idea.
Right. Well, that's shocking.
Yeah. Terrible. It just to think that you could easily actually make money by changing it into renewable, which will help the planet.
At the very least.
At the same time.
Not lose money.
Yeah.
And renewables aren't perfect, and neither of us are saying that. But the only reason they're not perfect is because we're not investing there.
Exactly right.
I don't want to say we're not investing because we are. There's a certain amount of millions that get allocated from the budget every year to renewable research.
It's not enough.
That's
and
right.
It's new. It's going to take time to be perfected.
That's right.
Elon will do it.
Elon will do it. Come on, mate. Come on, Mr. Musk.
We've got faith.
You know what we actually learned? He lives in a tiny house.
Yeah.
I told you about that. Maybe even this week, he lives in a modular home, which is his little home that they build in a factory and then they ship it off to you in a truck and then it just folds out.
Is it actually tiny?
Yeah. It's like a studio. It's smaller than this apartment, I reckon. Like, you think, and he lives on the SpaceX property, you think this multi-billionaire, this is the richest man in the world right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's over to Bezos, yeah. I'm not sure. They've been going back and forth for a bit. Yeah. But he lives in a tiny home.
Bezos doesn't.
I bet he bloody doesn't. But it just goes to show, like, it's crazy how you can get away with so little. He has a pretty big property, SpaceX.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can do it. Absolutely.
I want to do it too.
But, you know, not to monger on the oil giants thing, but I think when it comes to that, the solution for individuals is twofold. I think in my mind, the two best things we can do is, one, know who we're voting for. It's very important. If you're in a country that doesn't make voting compulsory, vote anyway.
Vote.
It's
seriously.
You can't vote, not vote, and then complain about the situation you're in if you didn't have a say. You have been blessed enough to have a democracy where you have the option to have an opinion and choose the world you run in. If you believe the votes don't count, that's something completely different, a different conversation. But if you believe that you live in a democracy and you're not voting, then you need to just educate yourself on the different parties because it does make a very powerful, powerful impact, especially even if at the council level. Like if you think your council's removing too many trees, you can just email them, say plant more trees. Councils get a lot of money. The council we used to live at, I think they got 15 mil a year.
Wow.
And this is to manage a few hundred thousand people, parks, stuff like that. For 15 mil to use on management stuff. That's a lot of money to plant trees, create a lot more outdoor spaces, put more bins around so less people litter. Like that's a lot of things. And the second thing is exactly what you said before. Ride your bike a bit more. Walk around a little bit. Maybe just use public transport. A bus could take 40 cars off the road.
Mm.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Carpool.
There's lots of options. Heaps of options. So we're not just here spreading fear. Like there's lots of solutions that you can take advantage of.
Can I talk about good stuff?
Please. I've got some good stuff after this.
Oh.
I've got one scandal.
Oh, okay. You go. Go, go.
Do you want to do the scandal? It's a funny scandal.
Go.
It's a funny scandal. Have you heard of the recent Subway scandal?
Subway. Yes, I did, with the truck out the front.
Yes. Yeah. Because essentially what happened is the New York Times requested a sample from Subway and they found that the tuna sub had no DNA traces of tuna.
I did not know that's what was going on.
That's what happened. And so they've kind of said, what's going on here?
What is it?
And so was it the Good Choice people? Let me see if I've got the name here. Good Catch Foods, this plant-based fish company, saw that, took full advantage, branded their truck as Alloway, and they sell plant-based fish. So they started selling subs with fishless tuna in it.
I love
and so,
that.
And they parked out front of Subway and they just sold it. And essentially, it was so funny. I saw John Joseph, this vegan Iron Man in New York Times, post that he was there and all these different things happening around. It was great and good on him for taking advantage. And they actually got a legal letter from Subway because it was the same, similar branding and stuff. Our Way logo was the same. And it was a cease and desist.
Our Way.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, you're using our intellectual property. If you don't stop, we're going to have to take legal action and yada, yada. And I think they did stop. But since then, they actually put out a press release saying they're going to give more vegan options.
Subway. Amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder what they're going to do.
I mean, I don't know what they have in America, but here I think we only have two options in there.
Well, we've got falafel. Is that right?
Yeah, there's like... And is there veggie... falafels? I thought there was a veggie patty.
Oh.
I think some places in the US have meatballs and stuff.
Vegan meatballs. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that was a scandal, which I thought actually was pretty funny. It ended up really, really well. Like, at the end of the day, you have to laugh about that.
Yeah.
Like, that is
it's just
so
a little bit
perfect.
Of exposure, isn't it?
It is. And good for Good Catch Foods for doing that. Shout out to them for, you know, having the balls to do that too.
Really. Especially
so, sorry, wait. Let me take that down. Having the guts... So I'm not sexist here. That is a framework I've got to change.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. It's just something you grow around. Having the guts to do that.
Yeah, I agree. And just taking advantage of a situation. I love it.
So what's happening right now? It's very big in the world.
The good news stuff?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
Right now, what in the global situation, specifically in Asia, is happening right now?
The Olympics.
The Tokyo Olympics. That's right.
So smart.
I think they've still actually dubbed it 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
Have they?
I've seen a lot of the headlines still say 2020 Tokyo Olympics.
Wow. And did you hear Brisbane's got 2032?
Was it 20? I thought I read 2023.
No.
2032? I saw like photos of the stadium and it looks insanely big.
Well, I think that means there'll be some in the Gold Coast, some events in the Gold Coast.
There must be.
Surely.
Must be that new stadium that they're building. In Coomera.
They're pretty excited.
Yeah. It's
Brisbane had like banners everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
So is it official?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
cool. And
awesome.
They had...
I'd love to go.
The winner is Brisbane.
Oh, that's funny.
Did you get the reference? No. The winner is Sydney. Nah. I might have to show you later.
No, yeah, I don't get it. Is that like someone like one of those like model things where like Harvey... No. You know, he called out the wrong name. That's what I thought it was.
No.
Okay. But yeah, Tokyo Olympics, heaps of vegan athletes out there repping some plant gains at the moment. There's actually heaps. Like in the US soccer team, there's three.
Wow.
Three vegan athletes. We've got Alex Morgan, Ali Riley, and Tony Presley. We've got Kaylin Whitney doing the 400-meter relay, Mickey Papa skateboarding, Vivian Kong doing fencing. She was actually, I think, the first.
Which countries are these from?
So all of these I mentioned were US.
All of them?
Yeah. Vivian Kong is Hong Kongese. I think she was the first Hong Kongese to actually win some sort of fencing thing.
Cool.
And she's vegan, which is awesome. Paris Benegas, I think, also from US doing BMX. Obviously, we got our own Morgan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So she's doing the 800 meter. So she's doing the sprint. She, I reckon, has got a really good chance. She's in her prime. She's killing it. It just looks like it comes natural to Morgan.
Did you know Olympics are only on for like 15 days?
Yeah, I actually thought that was a lot. I look at it, I'm like, oh, I thought this was like 3 days.
I thought it was like a month.
Yeah.
2 months.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a lot of sports that we had no idea about. Like when I was reading them out, I'm like 3-on-3 basketball, then basketball, like fencing, skateboarding, BMXing.
Something was on yesterday, which I thought you would have liked.
Oh, what?
Road biking, 250 kilometers.
Ooh, ultra sport.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that long. That's ages.
Don't quote me. It was called road biking, but awesome. It was a very long race.
Awesome. And I'm sure I've missed some vegan athletes as well. There's actually quite a what bit going in. And we've got the Adelaide girl, Izzy Bat Doyle. So she's doing the 5,000 meter. I don't know why they call it the 5,000 meter, not 5,000 kilometer. I don't know if it's
5Ks.
5Ks. It's not like imperial and metric.
Yeah,
issues.
I wonder if it's got something to do with miles and.
Because like when it's held in like the Americas, if they want to use kilometers or meters to clear up them. But anyway, we've got a lot in there.
It's amazing.
That's awesome. And, you know, I hope they all take home a medal. Obviously,
We
want everyone to take home a medal.
Can't.
If you've got friends and family and people you're supporting, always wish them the best. But it's good to see so many plant-based athletes repping at the Olympics, which is awesome. And there's actually other huge athlete news.
Tell us.
I know.
Please.
Harvey Lewis placed first in the 135-mile, which is 217-kilometer race. It's the Badwater Endurance Race, which is actually known to be the hardest foot race in the world. So he did it in 25 hours and 50 minutes.
I'm assuming he's vegan.
He's vegan.
Yeah.
He's vegan, vegan athlete, Harvey Lewis. So 135 miles, 217 kilometers in just 26 hours. I don't want to say 26 hours. I'll give him 25 hours and 50 minutes.
Wow.
That is a bloody hustle. So the start of line is at the Badwater Basin, Death Valley, which is 85 meters below sea level.
Is this in America?
America. The lowest elevation in North America it starts. And the finish line is in the in Whitney Portal, which is the highest point in the contiguous United States at 2,530 meters.
Wow.
So this isn't a flat course. No. You're going 85 meters below sea level to 2,530 meters above sea level.
Jeez.
If anything, that'll give you a headache.
I'm exhausted thinking about it.
Insane. So Harvey's claimed a lot of titles. I don't even know if this was his first time winning it.
Wow.
But he stopped eating meat back in 96. And he went full plant-based in 2016.
That's when you were born.
I know. He was ahead of the curve.
The OG.
Yeah, and he attributes a lot of his success in interviews and stuff about recovering properly and being able to eat foods that help him in his performance. Mainly, he actually talks a lot about recovery.
Yeah.
And, you know, reducing
inflammation. Well, Game Changers spoke a lot about recovery.
Yeah. Because that's it. Like, I think it comes down to, like, if you look at someone who – well, when I was growing up, I thought when you take steroids, you just get big.
Mm.
But really – taking steroids just means you train 3 to 5 times a day. Like you're in the gym, like you're living there.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you just take it and you grow muscles. Like,
so what happens if you don't go to the gym and take steroids?
Nothing. I have no idea. No, I feel like you'd have some serious repercussions.
Right.
Because you're adding so much testosterone, that needs to go somewhere.
Right.
Like that's, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
I know it would definitely cause you some hormonal imbalances to the extreme.
Yeah.
Has very bad, I think it's
is
been
that
linked
what steroids
to cancer.
Are?
Yeah.
Testosterone.
Hormones, yeah. It's you know, it's linked to, well, I know testosterone therapy is linked to cancer risk. It's linked to the changing of the size of the testicular system. Like there's a lot of bad links, but I know medically sometimes it's necessary. So I don't want to badmouth it at all.
No.
I'm just saying it takes hard work and recovery just means like you're about to go harder.
Yeah.
So full respect to Harvey Lewis. But I think that's it for me, actually. That's all the news I have.
So I can get into my good news stuff?
You can get into your good news stuff.
Okay. I wonder if you've heard any of this. Coles has confirmed they will no longer have plastic collectibles. You know, like those Uggies and the collectible minis that your mum loved.
Yeah.
They will no longer do that.
Is it because of an environmental standpoint?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's and they no longer sell like single-use plastic, like picnic stuff. Don't sell it.
Awesome.
And that's when they were like, well, if we're not going to sell single-use plastic. We're not just going to give away all of this plastic that's, we know it's toys, but really, how long did they give a crap about?
Yeah.
The Ooges.
Yeah.
Or whatever like they are.
For the month or whatever yeah. that thing is on.
It's like the novelty of collecting and then that's it.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I think they should invest more in the campaigns that they run to give away the cookware.
Yeah.
Like actual thing that's
well,
useful.
What about Woolies that did the seeds?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Not that any of ours
yeah,
grew.
Yeah, none of ours worked, but come on, Woolies, are you giving us dubbed ones? No, that's great. I think they should definitely, like, we went to Coles a few times out of our way just to collect these a MasterChef credit so we can yes. get new pots and pans. Like, that is something that you genuinely will use.
Yeah.
Like, that is where investments should go. Mm. Like, not little trinkets and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, collectibles and Crocs.
Crikey.
No. The footwear brand.
What are those?
You know.
No. That's the original. Like, you know, have you ever seen the Vine? What are those?
Just ask your, like, say that question again and just think, would I have seen that?
Anyway, this kid goes to his grandma and he's like, what are those? And she's wearing Crocs. And she just responds with, those are my Crocs. And it just went viral. And yeah, anyway.
Okay, I'm going to have to see this.
Yeah.
They pledged to go vegan.
Crocs?
Mm.
What are they made of at the moment?
I don't actually know. I was thinking about it. I'm like, what do you even mean?
With shoes, I guess it's like, it's the glue.
That could
like,
be.
A
yeah.
lot of times, like it's like beetle, like yeah, crushed up bugs right. and stuff. The yeah. gelatin in it as well.
But they pledge also to hit zero emissions by 2030.
Amazing.
So maybe that's what they mean by vegan, like the ethical side. I don't know, but yeah. It's pretty cool. Yeah, zero emissions by 2030.
That's awesome. I swear to God, if 2030 comes and nobody changes about, because I feel like 2030 is glorified. Yeah. It's like this new sexy thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on, are you actually going
to
do
it? Does it really take 9 years to change your business structure that much?
Give it like, I'll give you 2 years.
I reckon
you could change a bloody lot.
Yeah.
Like, come on, finding a supplier, let's say it takes 6 months to research. I think it could take a few weeks, especially if you've got staff on hand.
Yeah.
Maybe you have 1,000 stores.
Let's not poop on them.
Let's not poop on them. 2030 is something, but I also don't want to give them, like, we're in a climate emergency.
Yeah.
We are in a climate emergency. The IPCC has given us, like, another 6 years before it's become irreversible. It shouldn't be 2030. It should be 2025.
Yeah.
At latest.
I get it.
You're a company that has an impact and can create trends. You need to be leading the way. I'm sorry, but I think I'm going to be pretty unapologetic about that because...
You're pooping on my good news stories.
I am because I just don't think that's good enough. I don't. I don't know if that's really too cynical, but if you really truly understand the situation we're in, Crocs, this is a good first step. But
do better.
You've got a bloody staircase to climb and you can't do one step at a time. You need to run up that bad boy.
Run up that ladder, hey?
That's right.
Okay. Well, my good news story wasn't good enough.
Wasn't good enough. No, it was great. No, I love it when companies try to instill change, but I also am skeptical all the time because it could be a marketing thing.
Yeah, true. All right. Well, you've probably heard about this one. But Victoria in Australia has banned releasing balloons into the environment.
I did vaguely hear about that.
Hmm.
Who does that?
People do it.
Is that
funerals,
like
funerals? It's a big thing at funerals.
Really?
Yeah. I've been to a funeral where
that's horrific. That'd break my heart.
Didn't even think of it at the time. It was years ago. Once you like I didn't do it, but once you see everyone let go, you're like, now what?
Oh, my God.
Like, you're like, now what? What's happening? Like,
yeah.
So it's a $17,000 fine.
Whoa.
For an individual.
I hope it gets enforced.
$38,000 as a company.
I very much hope that gets enforced.
Okay. Positivity, please.
No, I'm stoked because that money can fund renewable energy. And maybe picking up your garbage.
Yeah. And it's even if they're biodegradable balloons, they don't care.
Really?
Just fine.
Cool.
It's also mostly due to the string and stuff as well.
Right. Well, it's like the mask thing where you have to cut the... the
string
the
is
mask.
Just right. string, but it still kills animals. And that's apparent. I believe that's their main reason concern. For this.
Right. Awesome.
Not like aeroplanes in the sky.
Thank you. Thank you, Victoria.
Woohoo. I think other states have done it before. But we'll take it.
Take the win.
And last one. Argentina becomes the first country in the world to ban salmon farming.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Do you know why they did that?
No, I told you I don't have anything to dive into. It's just a good news story.
Okay.
Take it.
Okay, I will take that. That's great.
Isn't it?
It's great.
Do you think every country does some form of salmon farming that's not landlocked?
I even think probably landlocked countries do it.
What? Freshwater?
Yeah, like agriculture.
Yeah, freshwater. I didn't even think of that.
Rivers. Yeah. So I think most countries would do some form of fish farming.
Yeah.
But I wonder, I do wonder sometimes if that's part of the solution. What's the lesser evil? I haven't done the numbers on it.
Well, they reckon, remember sea
serpents? Yeah, they looked into it and the fish had a bunch of diseases. Oh. But that was because they were feeding the salmon.
Yeah, because the salmon were dying from eating their poo.
Yeah, right.
Eating their own.
And bacteria was growing. They were getting cancers on their head or something. That was really disturbing.
It was. Yeah. And they were talking about the smell and I almost gagged thinking of the smell.
It's pretty bad.
But yeah, they're my good news stories.
They're pretty good.
I'll try better next month.
Can you please?
Yeah.
No, I actually really like the idea of finishing these on a good news story.
Yeah.
Especially because there's a lot that we touch on and sometimes it can be quite cynical.
I don't want it to be like fear-mongering.
No, it's not fear-mongering. It's facilitating important conversations.
I agree. But that's why I wanted to – there are people doing good things.
Oh, there's so many people doing good things. I want to maybe even bring in businesses that are doing good things.
Yeah.
Beyond Crocs, these different charities and stuff that are just doing incredible things. I know there's – especially South America – I feel South America is screwed by a lot of things, especially when it comes to water use and land clearing, especially with their communities. Because, the conversations I've had with Bernice just blew my mind. Towns and farmers selling their bananas at 10 cents a kilo.
Wow.
Because they don't have the resources or the education to know how to market their product, to know how to put their product out there. So I think...
Their country's leadership is like as well, though. I think that would play a huge part in a lot of things that
bad.
Go on in South
Based
America.
Based on our conversation, it's pretty bad. That's why he's we stopped relying on government. It's all NGOs, non-government organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Take donations. They're all registered as a charity or some sort of system like that. And that's just where the real change happens, in his opinion. I'm slowly starting to agree. Governments have the power, but they're busy with other things.
Yeah, but they're also trying to feed their own pockets.
True, true. We finished on a negative note. Damn. Kind of, not really. I think we've come to the end of the conversation.
I think that's it.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's all I've got.
How do you feel... This is the first time you're actually on a mic for the Plant Paradigm podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Are you nervous? Or are you feeling more comfortable now than you were?
I think the couch situation has made it just feel like we're having a conversation that
it
we
has.
Would normally be doing.
I agree. Not that we sit this far apart usually. Social distancing. If there's something you want us to cover, because there's a lot of things that we trying to research. A lot of the times, actually, just an example, this dementia post that I put up on Instagram the other day that actually got a bit of attention was actually messaged to me by someone else because they saw, I'd never heard of Rhonda Patrick at the time and I chose to dive into that. But it's things like that and I'm super appreciative of the community for reaching out and actually having me look through that. That means a lot. So we get messages all the time and comments of people appreciating conversations and science, and that's awesome. I respond to every single message. I think I do on Twitter too. I'm not on Twitter too much, but we're there.
We'll get on Twitter a bit more.
Yeah. Shana does the Twitter a bit. She logs on every now and again, gets the notifications. Definitely more on the Instagram. We're about to crack 3,000 followers. Woo. And we're about to do the 100th episode, actually. I think this is episode 96.
Who's that going to be with?
Surprise. I think it'll be a solo episode.
Wow.
Or us on the couch. And I think I'm going to do a giveaway. I know, a pretty juicy giveaway too. I know. But yeah, message us any stories, any wins, any things you'd love us to cover, any science that you want
dived into,
I guess is the best way to say it.
Summarized.
Absolutely. Obviously follow us on Instagram, Plant Paradigms, at plant.paradigm. On YouTube, it's the same, The Plant Paradigm. Shana Lee is SHARNAALEE on Instagram. I'll leave it all in the show notes. And I'll leave all the resources of any of the stories we talked about, the science that we dived into in the show notes. So if you guys want to check it out, by all means. And that's all from us today. Do you want to do the sign off?
No.
No. Stay happy. Eat plants. Peace.